Salut à tous, je suis Kevin Le Goff, fondateur de Coastline Creative Club, et aujourd'hui je vous présente un podcast qui vise à explorer et faire parler l'univers de l'hospitality pour comprendre comment développer votre projet perso en faisant parler celles et ceux qui inventent des lieux hors du commun. Bienvenue à tous, vous écoutez No Small Plans. Très heureux de vous retrouver pour cette rentrée et ce nouvel épisode. 4 semaines de break se sont passées depuis la dernière sortie et c'est l'occasion pour moi de prendre un peu de temps et de hauteur sur les différents projets, mais aussi l'opportunité de bouger et de découvrir de nouvelles adresses, des nouveaux concepts ici et ailleurs. De l'hôtel indépendant aux portes de Lisbonne au concept hybride de lieux nichés sur les hauteurs de Colares. Et pour ce nouvel épisode, un peu particulier parce que ça signe le lancement d'échanges en anglais, pas évident forcément. Mais on a essayé de faire au mieux avec des personnalités basées à l'étranger. Et important pour moi de vous faire découvrir des lieux que j'ai pu croiser sur mes différents déplacements. Et Ocean Sound, fondé par Henning, c'est un des projets qui m'a le plus marqué ces derniers mois. Ocean Sound, c'est un studio d'enregistrement situé en Norvège, dans un village de 4000 habitants, positionné sur un bout de caillou entouré d'eau. Et c'était un pari un peu fou pour les fondateurs. Et aujourd'hui, il réussit quand on voit les artistes qui ont pu passer pour enregistrer. Et dans cet épisode, on va creuser la manière dont ils ont construit ce projet-là, comment ils ont réussi à monter un projet aussi atypique sur un territoire aussi retiré, et parler des difficultés, du modèle, de la vision des fondateurs. Et on va passer une heure avec Henning en anglais. Donc ça bégaye pas mal. J'ai quelques questions que j'ai pas pu refaire, mais bon, on a laissé l'épisode comme ça. En tout cas, je vous souhaite une très bonne écoute. Et surtout, n'hésitez pas à nous faire des feedbacks. Après l'épisode.
Super.
Merci beaucoup.
You know,
bonne écoute à tous.
Super happy to have you on the show. Actually, you know, as I said, I was following the project for the past few years, and I'm super excited to have you on the show, share the story, and how did you end up like building a cool place like Ocean Sound, and maybe we can start, you know, just by introducing yourself for the people that don't know you yet.
Yes, I'm Henning Svoren, and I live in a town called Ålesund in northwestern Norway. And I am a producer and engineer, and also run a part of a crew that's running Ocean Sound, a recording studio here. I've been working with music pretty much all my life. I never had a real job. I started out playing in bands and kind of got into studio and recording side of things through that. And also I've been kind of entrepreneur, or been running my own kind of business from right after I left high school. Actually, I started
an independent
contractor, I guess. That's kind of to achieve my dream, which is to make a living from music. That side of things is important to enable.
You've been working as an indie like mainly all your life, and what were you like a member of a band? How did you end up like getting into the production part, like which is, you know, we will maybe explain a little bit for the people that don't know the difference between being a musician and also producer. But yeah, what's the job at the beginning?
So I were playing in lots of bands, and we had shows and in churches and country festivals. I I play pretty much every kind of music, hard rock, country, pop, yeah, you name it. And so I guess I went to a studio when I was like a teenager, and I just really loved that part of music and how you can develop a song like in the studio, and it was really interesting to me. So I got the opportunity to come and hang out in a like local studio where I in the town where I grew up, and just hanging out by the engineer who were mixing and looking at what he was doing, and also we with my own bands and our own music, we kind of wanted to have some stuff back in those days, I guess, to put up on MySpace. But yeah, so I started to collect some like recording equipment, and I actually I built a little studio in a like a defunct school, like a school that were abandoned.
Oh yeah, where was so that? That
was actually it's a couple of hours from Giske, where I'm now. We're in a into the fjords here in Norway, so just like a tiny place. And so I like all the money I earned, I kind of spent on recording equipment, and yeah, and I also got into like the live sound for concerts and stuff, because that's a little bit easier to make money from. So the money I earned on the doing concerts and stuff, I used on like recording gear and stuff, and did that for a few years. And then in 2009, they started building Ocean Sound, and I heard, yeah, they might need some help with that. And so I knew the guys who built it a little bit from my bands and the music scene, I guess. And so I called them up and asked, yeah, heard you might need some extra help here. And yeah, sure, come Monday on 10 o'clock. And yeah, but I think they knew a little bit about me, and since I had both some playing experience and studio experience, and I had actually in high school I did like electrical engineering or so, and some electronics, so I could actually help soldering up like the all the connections and cables when we were installing the studio. So
yeah,
I had some I could yeah, help them in some various capacities, I guess. So yeah,
because the studio was born actually back in 2005.
Yes,
there is a story about a boat or something like that, you know.
Yeah, so there are kind of two versions of Ocean Sound. The first one started way back in 2005, and it was in an actual boathouse which was used to store a boat and for fishing and yeah, I don't know. So there was this band called the Margarets from this island, Giske. They did kind of pop music, which had like 60s aesthetics, like really vintage retro kind of sound. So And they did pretty well around that time. So they had a record deal and they had done some records. They traveled to Sweden and it was mixed in New York and some of the bigger Norwegian studios. So they had kind of traveled around and worked here and there. And experienced like the big city way of doing things, and
yeah.
And for their next record, they asked the record label to, instead of having money to spend on studios, they want to buy their own gear, like analog gear, tape machines, and old microphones, stuff like that, and do it in this boathouse on Giske. And it turned out really good, it was a real creative place to make music and work. And since they kind of had this setup with the tape machines and stuff, other bands and artists in that kind of scene also wanted to come to Giske to record and try that. And they kind of soon realized that the tiny boathouse was way too small. So then kind of the plan to build Ocean Sound 0.20
yeah.
grew out of that. So, yeah.
Okay. So then you ended up like being part of the project back in 2009.
Yeah.
And was the Margarets part of it still in 2009, or is it like a different crew that set it up the place? How did it end up?
Yeah, so it took so long to actually get the permits right and everything in order, and not at least build the studio. So the Margarets was pretty much... not active when the studio opened. So we've done some like small, we did like a 20-year anniversary re-release of some stuff where they did some choirs and percussion, but we have actually not had a real The Margarets session in the studio because, yeah.
yeah,
I kind of moved on, but the guys who were in the band, like two of them, a guitar player and bass player, they are the guys who still are the like owners of Ocean Sound, and they also run several festivals in Norway and have a microbrewery in the city, a restaurant in the city, and so they we have a event company just right outside where I'm sitting now, which does everything from political conferences, weddings, marine seminars.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff, but all of those things kind of grew out of the studio. So, like studio, and then a festival around the studio, and then it kind of grew into the region here. So,
okay,
so that's pretty cool, actually.
so just to get the timeline, but back in 2009, did you have the place already, or were you looking for a place, you know, to get the permit and stuff like that? How did you end up like building the place where you are now? Like, is it is it something that was already in the pipe, or did you have to look for a place during a few years? How did it?
Yeah. So the studio now is just a stone throw from the old boathouse. It's really close. But if they were going to spend that much money and time and effort on like building a proper studio, there was this one spot where it kind of had to be, because yeah, like the location would be everything. So if it was further into the island where you didn't have like the ocean view and that whole thing, it wouldn't really make sense. So what they did is, the spot was owned by, I think actually 13 like farmers, and it was like a shared
land.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they first had to make all 13 of them agree to sell the land, and then also start the process of, since it's so close to the coastline, we have, I'm not sure how it's on your side, but here in Norway, the coastline is considered like a free, an area where everyone should access, have access and do recreational stuff and walk around.
Yeah.
So it's very, very strict with what you can build. So they sent in permits, and there were massive protests in the newspaper because the neighbors and people were maybe a little bit scared if this was going to be some alien thing on the beach with weird hippies and drugs, and I don't know. Even like, the priest was massively against it, even though he's actually been recording. He's a great like opera singer. He's been since he's been recording in the studio. So we're all friends now. But yeah, there was lots of people was very divided at the beginning.
That's funny, because the first reaction was related to the more about the people going there more than the building, actually, right?
I guess
people from the music industry, you know, they're gonna we're gonna have hippies everywhere.
And then I guess it went first like to your municipality kind of thing, and then off to the regional authorities, and then this case kind of went all the way up to like the cultural department in Norway, so where it got its final blessing. So that took some years to get all that stuff right, but what we actually did in the beginning, we used to have studio concerts where all the neighbors and local citizens could come and have some good artists playing, and try to have had open days where like kids could come in and play some drums or whatever, and just try to be open to the local community.
Yeah. I think it's very important, you know, especially when you build this kind of creative project into like small cities or like we do, to actually engage. You know, some people are just coming over and they've got their project and they don't care about the local community. And then they end up like getting a lot of troubles because, you know, people are not like against the project. They just, you know, they're going to give a piece of their land to someone. And, you know, I think the way back is just to give a piece of the project to the local community you know, make them part of it.
Yeah.
And would you say that it was a bigger trigger, you know, to get them into the project to make it work?
Yeah, because, yeah, like you say, it's a small place, so you have to, everyone wants to have live in harmony, and like now everyone is really happy about studio, and I think that the studio is here have contributed a lot to the reputation of Giske and also Ålesund, which is the larger city, like 15 minutes from here. So it was an area which was kind of declining. Like young girls went on out to study, and it was a pretty like male dominated work environment, with since it's a lot of like ship industry and fishing and marine kind of businesses. So there wasn't a lot of jobs for like typical female careers. And I'm not saying the studio did change that, but it was kind of a part of like little bits of snowball effect, where we had a studio which made the area interesting for artists, and then like the festivals and concerts came after that and kind of built, and then with a restaurant. So now the whole region is in a lot better shape than it was 10, 15 years ago. Not because of the studio, but I think
it's part of it.
Yeah, it's a little part of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's the kind of, you know, the kind of project that is going to, I mean, you're not changing the city you live in, but it's, you know, it's actually contributing to the, to highlight, you know, the city. And just to put the light on the spot and make people discover how it is like since years and years, but you actually, you know, just help the city out to, you know, get on the internet, get some visual, make them, you know, not famous, but, you know, I mean, highlight.
Yeah, but I think if you have some cool artists that come here, then even like citizens themselves think, oh yeah, if they're coming here, it's might actually be a cool place.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it can be a bit hard when you grow up here and see why it's a beautiful place and what it actually has to offer and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's very similar to Brittany, for example. You know, if you talk to all the kids over there, they're gonna tell you, ah, man, I just want to leave the city and go in, you know, in Paris or in London or whatever.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, they see like all those creative coming back, and they're like, why are those people like liking this place? Like I've been wanting to, you know, I wanted to leave this spot for years. Now people are coming are coming back, but because we highlighting the spot in a new way, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that what they used to see is a bit different of what we see of the spot, you know, especially when you get like older, actually.
Yeah.
You don't need the same how do you say that, the amenities, you see.
So
to come back to the timeline, so when did you actually open the place, when was the studio open?
I think it was October, maybe 2009. So
okay,
like autumn 2009. Yeah.
And did you have any idea of the business model at the beginning? Like, was it? I don't. I mean, I know a little bit about how it worked for a music studio. Was it exactly the same way? Are you renting for a day or a week or a month or whatever? How does it work?
Yeah. So we have a day rate. So some studios, they do like an hourly thing, but since since you kind of have to travel here, it makes most sense to we do most of stuff like by day.
Yeah.
And then we also do quite a bit of like editing and mixing where the artist doesn't have to be present. So we do that stuff, some of it by the hour.
Okay.
And yeah. But I like to mention that when we opened in 2009, we actually got a lot of the gear, like the previous console we had, came out of a studio called Mayfair in London, which had just closed. So it was a period where a lot of the big studios were closing down, like in all the... yeah. All around the globe, really.
yeah. Due to the music industry was changing at this time. You know,
yes.
It was the beginning of the, you know, the. Not, I wouldn't say internet, but streaming stuff, MP3.
Yeah. Yes.
And was a all new way of, you know, producing and listening to music.
Yeah, and. Some of the previous recording studios were pretty massive and big and luxurious and very expensive to run on a like day-to-day business. Now, yeah, day-to-day
basis. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So, what we tried to do here was it shouldn't be too small, and we have four bedrooms, like just upstairs in the studio where most of the artists stay. They are super simple with just two beds and that's pretty much it. So everything in there looks good and has a okay standard, but it's not like over the top luxurious thing. So I think that was a little bit of the key of the success or here, that there was pretty much what we needed, but it wasn't like excessive, over the top, super expensive to run. So that was maybe the problem of the studios that closed down, and they had a lot of staff, and we tried to keep the organization pretty... pretty
small.
Slim,
yeah,
stuff like that. So that was also important for the business model to,
Because when you set it up the you know the project the business model, you actually said that you have four rooms.
Four
bedroom, which is different, but. So you've got four bedrooms. Did you actually target a kind of band to make sure that you could, you know, they could fit in the studio? And I mean, a band wouldn't even if you know it's an orchestra, but it won't be like, you know, 15 or 20 people. But did you actually manage to target the kind of band you wanted at Ocean Sound to build a place and make sure that you could, you know? It could fit like the targets.
Yeah, but the kind of surprising thing was it's built a little bit with the recording rooms as well. It's very suitable for live bands that want to do some live stuff with several musicians and like jazz projects. But because of the location and like the closeness to the ocean and the nature here, a lot of artists basically do everything on a laptop want to come as well, just because they find it inspiring and they don't necessarily need all the drums and guitar amps and recording rooms we have, but there's something about the atmosphere that helps them, even though they can sit at home and or a hotel room with their laptop, they find new ways to write music when they're here.
Do you have hotels and stuff like around the place, like to, you know, if you want to gather more people or stuff like that?
Yeah, so we have a pretty simple hotel, like the airport hotel. It's just 5 minutes from here, and then in Ålesund, there's like there's super boutique, super nice hotel, and cheaper ones. So if an artist wants like the comfort of having their room made every morning and stuff and proper breakfast, they can live in the city.
Yeah. How do you manage the, you know, that's some very operational question, but like, how do you manage like the food and stuff? Like, do you have people around that can help you out, or how do you do it by yourself, or I don't know?
Yeah, so it's a little bit DIY. I think most of the artists here, they actually go shopping and just fill the fridge and make their own food. And some bands or artists have like a friend who is into cooking that joins them and helps them out with those kind of practical things, so they can focus on the music. And then also we sometimes hire a chef or like a proper do like a proper thing, but the wages here for chefs in Norway are pretty high, so not everyone can afford that, but pretty flexible with that, but most of the artists just cook themselves, or if they're four in the band plus a photographer or something, then they might do like one dinner each or stuff like that. So
because that's a bit different, you know, from I would say a normal music studio, you know, like artists are gonna stay there, they're going to spend, like, as you said, like they're not here for an hour or two or six or seven. Mm. They're here for a days or few days. So you have to actually build an experience also around the place and also around the main, the main job that you do, guys, is actually recording music. So that's, you're all doing the same. I mean, do you have people like, are you working on the planning stuff, and are you managing like all the as you said, it's a DIY stuff, but do you manage all of it, or do you have more people that are taking care of the agenda, you know, and the daily?
We have so we are three guys that have this as a full-time job. So Tarje, which is the studio manager, he does most of the planning for, but it kind of depends a little bit on the artist. If it's an artist I've worked a lot with, I usually deal with that. Or also, since we're so small, such a small organization, it's pretty fluid. Who's doing what? But Tari does most of the planning, and and we also have like meetings to discuss who's doing what project.
Are you open yearly, like all the, like no season especially, are you open all the year?
Yeah, we actually used to have closed between Christmas Eve and New Year.
Okay, but no seasonal business. I mean, it's not just during summer or during winter.
No. Okay. But and that's kind of I would actually say that the worst time to record here is in like July, or like the high summer when it's hot and it's right next to a beach, so And that's the beaches are like public place, so have lots of kids and people have like barbecuing with sausages, and studio smells of barbecued sausage. So even though it's nice and it's summer, it's not the best studio season. The studio can actually be pretty nice to work in studio when it's cloudy and a bit rainy outside, because
yeah,
then you kind of want to stay in.
Yeah, and you get the atmosphere also. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
So okay. So I know some bands, if they want to make a little bit darker music, they might come in November and record, because there's less light. We have shorter days here, so
yeah.
Yeah.
What do you have any names of bands you can share with us? Like who came over? Like the maybe the first to believe in the project at the beginning, or I don't know, like some cool bands who came over Ocean Sound. Yeah.
There was like in the beginning, the biggest projects we had was a Scottish band called Travis. If you know them, they were pretty big. Yeah. At some point, and also, do you know Arcade Fire?
Yeah, definitely. I was listening to the last album actually. Okay. It was like the.
So they did like I'm not sure if it was the Reflector album. The singer and the two front persons. I can't remember the names now. They came to just write the songs for what was to become the Reflector album, I think.
Okay.
And I think they ended up winning a Grammy for Artist of the Year or something
crazy
from that record. So those two projects was kind of important for us to like establish our name or be taken serious by like the smaller bands, because everyone wants to know what big stuff you have worked on. So
exactly.
If you have worked on some big stuff, it's easier to be considered for like the smaller things, I guess.
And you know, I'm asking this question because I would love to know, like, how do you end up having Arcade Fire coming over? Like, do you have like a commercial guy in the team that are gonna make the calls and you know, to make the to drop the name of the studio in a conversation, or I don't know, like how do you end up having them over there?
I actually not sure if I did. I think I actually worked on a record with a Norwegian singer, a female singer, and piano player, and she knew like the drummer in Arcade Fire, and they were friends. So he wanted to come over and play on her record. And I think maybe he just liked it so much, so he told like the rest of the guys in the band. So I think that was how that came about.
And do you have like today, is it like just people coming over, or do you have to actually be in the how do we say that in English? I don't know. Like, but do you have to be in touch with music labels?
No.
Stuff like that. You know, to make sure that you are in the list or in the short list to have artists coming over, or is it just, you know, friendship relationship coming over and then it works like that, you know, by itself?
Yeah. I guess we have. Of course, we know are friendly with some labels, and you're asking about how we get people to come.
Exactly.
Yeah, we are friendly with some labels, and but it seems like it's a lot of one artist or producer or musician have been here, and he has another project which might be suitable, and they have a friend who has been here, or there's like lots of small connections. And also, since we obviously have our own social media channels, but we could probably just delete those, because the important thing, I guess, is like the artist's social media channel. So when they are in the studio or have been in the studio posting photos from here, like the artists or musician friends see it and they want to come.
Yeah, and it does the job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but I'm at times surprised by like this. Some of, like today, there's a American band coming, pretty hardcore music, and we have, I don't think we have any connection to them.
Oh, really?
They want to come here and stay for 14 days or something. So, and we have had artists from Russia, which we've never heard, and like. Artists that are massive over there, and same with Swiss artists. Like, say, if we did, yeah, we have some Norwegian jazz musicians who are pretty renowned in their field, because there's kind of a Scandinavian jazz sound. And then we might have a band in Switzerland which is really into that artist, and then they want to come and record in the same studio and stuff like that.
how long do I have to wait if I want to come over with my band? Like, what's the wait list? You know,
usually we say a couple of months, I guess. Yeah, so it depends on, yeah,
on the project and stuff like that.
Yeah, so but usually it's pretty much booked, 3-4 months ahead, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the how is the project living right now? Do you have any project you want to add to Ocean Sound? You want to build another place? Do you want to, you know, make the place grow?
Yeah.
What's in the?
They're actually, I'm sitting in the B studio now, which is the where we mix, and this is kind of the latest thing we've done. It's not officially launched yet. We've kind of upgraded it to something called Dolby Atmos, if you know about that. That's like that's a technology that's been available in the cinema for 10-15 years, but it hasn't been used for music. So that's like a 3D surround kind of format. But last summer, Apple Music started to stream in Dolby Atmos. And then Amazon kind of followed, and Tidal followed. Spotify might be working on some solution for it. But a lot of like the game music or game sound is in surround or Atmos already. So kind of there's no reason. If you make a documentary for Netflix, it will not be accepted unless it has a like Atmos surround version of it.
Okay.
So yeah, the point being that like the music has been lagging behind kind of the technology there. So a lot of studios have been upgrading for Atmos, and yeah, so we can be so we can deliver mixes in that format and or create music for that format. So yeah,
which is good, especially that now, you know, people are. I mean, that was a question I have for you, but different from the place, you know.
Mm.
But what do you think actually about the music today and the fact that, you know, most of the people are listening to the, when we see a studio like yours and the way we listen to music today, what do you think about that? You know, like the quality of the sound. Actually, you know, that's a good news that streaming platform are going to use this kind of technology to come back to quality sound.
Yeah.
But yeah, what do you think about the?
Yeah, I think yeah, there's a lot of people listening on headphones and AirPods, and they can sound pretty good, and I guess a lot of people listen on a Bluetooth speaker, and including myself, actually, if I'm just want to listen to a song in the background. Yeah, I guess like the stereo hi-fi systems, there are less and less. If you have a wife or a girlfriend who is not interested in speakers in the living room, I guess. There are some sound bars that are pretty good and getting better. We actually bought it was kind of part of teaching like artists about the Atmos format. We purchased a like big sound bar for a lounge, just so people can listen to music while they're cooking and stuff. And it has like a separate microphone, so it's calibrated for the room, and that sounds very, very good. So, I'm not too pessimistic about or worried that like people will not hear or play it back as it sounds in studio, really, I'm sitting in an amazing room, so I'm not expecting anyone to hear it
like you do. Yeah,
well, no, but I don't know, there are some core systems now I think are really, really good, so yeah, I'm not too pessimistic.
Which is good. I mean, you know, especially as it's getting better and better. You know, it's not as you said, like back in 2009 or 2012, where like the streaming was just like compressed, like super compressed, and
you have also you have like the high quality settings. For example, you have Tidal Hi-Fi, I guess, and high quality settings in Spotify and YouTube. I guess a lot of people are actually listening on YouTube, which used to sound horrible, but they also changed something. So I think YouTube actually sounds pretty good now.
Okay.
So yeah.
And that was my question about the internet where you are, guys. Like, how do you have the fiber? Do you have the satellite? Or like, how does it work over there?
Yeah, we have fiber. So yeah, even though if you're on an island, I think like just a fiber cable runs by the bridge or something into the mainland. Okay, cool. So, yeah.
That's pretty cool because we don't have it over there. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's satellites are.
Okay.
Oh, that's it. You know.
Okay.
would you? How is the local community today with the project? Is it fine? Like they actually handle the project, and you know, it's now part of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's stuff like the same guys who started Ocean Sound. We did a Green Day concert in like the football stadium in Ålesund last week on Thursday with 18,000 in the audience. So
crazy.
So I think like the community has really embraced what they are doing, and for a studio, I think we have pretty good connection now with the neighbors, and also the kiting scene,
yeah,
kiting and windsurfing, but you did regular surfing.
So
it seems like kiting and windsurfing has gained popularity in like the recent years or something. So the area around the studio has become very popular for that.
Okay, cool.
So we have there's a lot of wind here, so. So there's a lot of people doing that, and we're very open with we don't have any no parking signs or anything of that sort, so they're free to come and set up their equipment on our space and stuff like that. So
that's pretty cool. All right.
Yeah.
And we're gonna reach the end of the interview. And do you have any? Where can we follow actually Ocean Sound? Like, do you have you guys have a social network? What can we just if you can give them to listeners or whatever?
I actually have to because we used to call ourselves Ocean Sound Recordings, but it was so long, so we. Try to just say Ocean Sound now.
Okay.
So I guess it's just on Instagram we're Ocean Sound Recordings, and on Facebook I think we're Ocean Sound. Yeah, we're just Ocean Sound.
All right.
And we also have a website called oceansound.no.
Okay. I will put all the links in description of the of the episode, but
that's cool.
Also sharing like few pictures, and then people can just understand like the particularity of this spot, you know, which is do you have any I mean you probably the only one like closest to the ocean, the closest one to the ocean. I don't know any other music studio.
No, I don't. It is a really special place and location, and what was important to us is that that's kind of well and good, but it's important to us that like the equipment and the acoustics and like the workflows in the studios are like on a really high level, so that we don't want to kind of rest on we have a cool spot, but none of the gear works, or we don't know what the hell we're doing. So we want we want it to be a proper working environment, and deliver like a really high quality service, and keep it clean and stuff like that, which a lot of studios you go into are dirty and not cleaned and messy and cables everywhere. So it's important to have like a whole complete
experience, which is like not just providing like music, but also like having like a good environment and
just a little funny thing, we installed a jacuzzi last year. Not last year, but a couple of years ago, and that was kind of cost a little bit of money, and we wasn't sure if should we buy some microphones or jacuzzi, and we ended up buying the jacuzzi, and that's just to kind of add to the experience, so you can kind of sit in the jacuzzi and watch the sunset, because it can actually be a problem for some musicians. They work so long hours, they get so into it that it's good to have something other than sitting with your instrument or in front of a screen, so we can get out and sit in
and step jacuzzi. Back take a break
and then also there are lots of opportunities to go sightseeing and hiking or skiing or pretty much
everything around.
Super
cool. I will share like all the pictures, then you know, people can realize how it looks like, and that's super cool. All right, thank you very much, Henning. That was,
it was really fun, and it's good to meet a like-minded.
And especially now you will have to come explore Brittany and see if you've got a piece of land where you can just set up like a new music studio. But I'm pretty sure friends needs it. So we'll keep in touch, definitely. Yeah. And super cool. And thank you for your time. I was super glad to have you on the show and actually, you know, learn a little bit more about Ocean Sound. If people want to, you know, ask you question or get in touch, the best way to get in touch with you or Ocean Sound is the website, you know. That would be the best the best one. Okay, cool.
Awesome,
perfect. Thank you very much, man, and
thanks for having me,
and talk to you soon.
Merci beaucoup d'avoir écouté jusqu'au bout. N'hésitez pas à m'envoyer vos retours d'expérience. J'adore recevoir vos commentaires. Et si cet épisode vous a plu, n'oubliez pas de le partager autour de vous, de vous abonner sur votre plateforme préférée. Et si vous avez un peu de temps devant vous, d'y laisser une note 5 étoiles et un petit commentaire. Ça m'aidera à remonter dans les classements. No Small Plans est produit par The Crafted Hospitality Garage, une plateforme de professionnels dédiée à celles et ceux qui créent des lieux hors du commun. Un espace pour échanger, se former, partager et obtenir des réponses à ces questions. Vous pouvez retrouver la plateforme sur no-smallplans.com et je vous donne rendez-vous dans 15 jours pour un nouvel épisode. Merci beaucoup et à très vite.